our service, whether you are here in person or are watching on Facebook Live. I'm Lorraine Finneson, and as you probably realized, Pastor Mark is not here today. He has what he thinks is a touch of the flu, so Pastor Rachel Garris will be delivering his sermon today, Deanne will be reading the scripture, and I'm obviously doing the announcements. Our liturgist today is Dawn Ketchison, and what else did I forget? Our music people are here as always, the faithful. There are important announcements on the back of the bulletin, so I encourage you to read them. Particularly important are the announcements about our outreach efforts and the poinsettia orders, which are coming due soon. Next Sunday, Pastor Mark will be in Las Vegas with his sons for some race or another, and our own Nate Jones will be preaching, so be sure to be here for that. Pastor Rachel will be assisting with the service. Also next Sunday, Pastor Marjorie Briggs will begin a four-week Advent series entitled The Weary World Rejoices during the Education Hour, so be sure to be here for that. Those who are interested in joining Mayflower in December should meet with me for a moment during the coffee hour. You'll meet with Pastor Mark on November 30 instead of today, but I have some materials to give you which you can review before that meeting. So we encourage anyone who's interested in becoming a member or at least investigating becoming a member to please check in with me today. Gail Sawyer now comes with several important announcements on behalf of the Missions and Outreach Committee. Gail?
Good morning, Mayflower. The mitten tree is now up in the lobby, and please bring hats, gloves, mittens, and scarves to decorate the tree. The items on the tree will be delivered to Wood Creek School, which is where the Luton students are currently being taught until the new school building is done. And the students are always very, very happy, as well as the staff, to receive these items because kids kind of lose things, and so they appreciate this. Then we're going to have another mitten tree donation after Christmas to restock items. Our project, our project to send Christmas cards to veterans is going on through November 30th. There are many cards available in the Friendship Center. Luton School students and Jamie Keller's classroom are participating in this project. Last year, I delivered 171 cards to the Lansing VA Center for distribution to the veterans hospitals in Battle Creek and Ann Arbor. We're off to a slow start this year. We don't have very many cards, so I would urge you to please consider picking up cards. Can be a few, it doesn't have to be a lot, and writing a verse to our veterans. Your card may be the only one that a veteran receives this Christmas. And the deadline for that is November 30th. Harvest Festival is November 23rd. This will benefit the City Rescue Mission, which was founded in 1911 and currently feeds 180 people a day on site. Non-perishable foods can be donated before church begins on November 23rd and placed on the communion table. Fresh produce will be purchased by Mayflower. We need volunteers to transport the food from Mayflower to the City Rescue Mission on Monday, November 24th. On behalf of the Missions and Outreach Committee, we appreciate everything that you do in our outreach projects. Many thanks to each and every one of you in the beloved community for giving of your time, your resources, and love to help those in need. Bless you.
Thank you, Gail. Let us now be in the spirit of worship.
Good morning, Mayflower. I hope you felt a heartfelt welcome when you walked into the church today. Thank you for coming. Today's worship theme, The Politics of Work and Food, is timely. The unnecessary government shutdown has interrupted a lifeline for millions. Some are in our beloved community. Some are here this morning. Unfortunately, scripture is used to justify an end to government programs, which help alleviate hunger and human need. One of those scriptures is found within the lectionary reading for today. There's obvious danger here, but Pastor Mark feels strongly that an issue of this magnitude deserves special attention. Join him and us as we seek to stir up compassion and understanding as we sing, pray, listen,
and reflect. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, there are many reasons we may have come to worship today, to hear a voice from God, to listen to and sing music, to fellowship with others in the beloved community, and to connect with friends. Today, we ask you to sensitize our hearts toward those who hunger to those who do not have adequate health care, and to the call of Christ to respond with love and compassion. Help us to discern our role and the government's role in the alleviation of hunger and human need. Give us wisdom and understanding, and help us change the misunderstanding and perception of what it means to be a Christian. Help us also to remember the preference Jesus always had for the poor, the disadvantaged, and marginalized. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
As we reflect on today's message, on responsibility, compassion, and the generous vision of God's kingdom, we remember that giving is one way we participate in God's work of justice and mercy. We give our goods, services, and our very lives. Our offering is not about worthiness or ability. It is simply our chance to respond to God's abundant grace with gratitude. And it is personal between you and God. We honor whatever each of us brings to the table. Let us pray to bless these gifts. Gracious God, receive these offerings as an extension of our love and our commitment to your kingdom. Use them to nourish those in need, to strengthen ministries of compassion, and to remind us that generosity is both a responsibility and a joy. Bless these gifts we bring, and bless us in the giving. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious and generous God, we gather this morning grateful for the abundance of your love, a love that invites all to the table, that offers mercy without price, and that sustains us through every season. Thank you for the blessings of this past week, for moments of connection, for rest when we needed it, for work that gives us purpose, and for our daily bread that reminds us of your constant care. Yet we know, God, that not all in our community or our world experience such abundance. As we reflect on Paul's words and Christ's call to compassion, we pray for those who struggle with instability, hunger, or lack of opportunity. Strengthen us as a church to embody both responsibility and mercy, to encourage one another in meaningful work, and also to open our hands wide to those in need. Make us people who do not grow weary in doing good. We pray for our nation and our world, where economic divisions deepen and systems often fail the vulnerable. Guide our leaders with wisdom rooted in justice, and guide us as voters, neighbors, and disciples to advocate for structures that uplift, nourish, and empower rather than divide or diminish. We lift up those among us who are carrying burdens today, those navigating illness, grief, financial strain, loneliness, or fractured relationships. Surround them with your comfort and peace. For all whose struggles go unseen, we ask for your quiet presence, for those on our prayer list, and for those whose names we speak aloud or in the silence of our hearts, we lift them to you now. God, help us to align our hearts with your generosity, renew our spirits, strengthen our compassion, and shape us into a community that reflects the banquet you imagine, one where all are welcome, all are fed, and all are valued. We offer our love and trust to you, joining together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I want to bring you greetings from Mark before we have our scripture reading this morning. You know he would love to be here. It's difficult for him to stay home, but yesterday his temperature was almost 102, and so it did break last night, and so he's on the mend. He's just resting, and hopefully we'll be back with us shortly. And of course, tomorrow he is doing a funeral for Reverend Terry Bob Zien in Indianapolis. So we are going to, I'm going to be looking after him. Don't worry, I'll look after him. And I know that he misses you all, and he will be very happy to be back in your presence. So let's read today. Our scripture reading is from the New Testament book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. And there is one verse in the reading for today that stirs up controversy and lots of misunderstanding. See if you can detect which one it is. Hear now these words. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, We worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command that anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in well-doing. Thanks be to God.
If you could join me in a quick prayer. Dear Father, help me as I attempt to bring Pastor Mark's words to life in this message. Be with us in this church and in our time together. Amen. I would like to begin this sermon by quoting the first three verses of Isaiah 55. Hear now these words. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. Isaiah imagines a feast, not for the rich and powerful, but for those who have no money. God's invitation is free, generous, and without qualification. This is the tone. Today, as we turn to Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians, we talk about work and responsibility, but also about God's mercy, especially toward the least of these. These words of Paul were written to a church under strain. There were some in the community described as idle. But the Greek word is more correctly translated disorderly, something akin to someone out of formation in a military march. Paul is not simply talking about laziness, but about behavior that is disruptive to the Christian community. He emphasizes that he and his companions did not rely on the church for their own sustenance in Thessalonica. They worked hard, night and day, so as not to be a burden. Then Paul issues a stark rule. If anyone is not willing to work, neither should he eat. He also gently warns that there were busybodies, people who meddled in other people's affairs and not working. It is important to note that while this verse jumps out as problematic when misused, Paul did not abandon them as he encourages them to work quietly and earn their bread, charging the faithful not to grow weary in doing good. According to many commentators, Paul's concern is less about judging the poor and more about preserving community, integrity, and witness. And yet, Paul's instruction must be balanced with the wider biblical witness of care for the poor, which is evident in his other letters. However, there is great misunderstanding of verse 10, which has become a flashpoint in modern political debates, especially around food assistance, welfare, and work requirements. Paul was not writing about a government-run social welfare system. He was writing to a small Christian community, urging internal discipline and responsibility. But today, some interpret Paul's rule to mean that all government assistance should be contingent on work, no exceptions. That glosses over Paul's context and ignores the complexity of poverty in the modern world. In the United States, for example, many recipients of food assistance are children, elderly, or disabled. According to USAID, USDA data for the year 2023, 79% of SNAP households have at least one child, elderly person, or a non-elderly person with a disability. More specifically, about 39% of SNAP participants are children, 20% are elderly, and 10 are non-elderly individuals with a disability. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities notes that many working-age SNAP participants do work, often in low-wage, unstable jobs. Further, strict work requirements without robust job training or supportive infrastructure can push people off assistance without addressing root causes. Lack of access to stable work, childcare, transportation, or education. For instance, the National Bureau of Economic Research shows that many individuals subject to SNAP work requirements face systemic barriers such as transportation or job mismatch. One of the trends in our society that is most troubling for me is that the economic policies of the last 50 years has concentrated wealth and power to those who already have it, while eroding support systems of the marginalized. The statistics are staggering. Today, nearly 30% of all wealth in the U.S. is concentrated among the top 1%, while the complete lower half, 50%, holds just 6% of all wealth. In 2024, the average CEO to average worker pay ratio was around 300 to 1. In 1965, CEOs earned just 21 times the wage of the average worker. Still too high, but more reasonable. What is your reaction to those statistics? Let me state my passionate opposition to the alarming and deadly trend by quoting Jesus. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. Luke 12:48. Jesus does not support trickle-down economics championed by so many in government today. Let's contrast Paul's strict admonition with Jesus' radical generosity. In Luke 6:30, Jesus says, "Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them back." In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5:42, "Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who desires to borrow from you." These are not just good suggestions. These ideas are rooted in Jesus' vision of a kingdom where mercy flows freely without calculation. At first glance, Paul seems harsher than Jesus, and maybe he is. Certainly, the need for food and sustenance should never be used as a punishment under any circumstances. I don't think a child should have even a delayed meal as corrective action. It sets the wrong precedent and teaches the wrong life principle. In context, Paul's injunction is about a specific issue in a fledgling Christian community, not a blanket refusal to help the poor. However, this verse has been problematic, easily misconstructed, and misused, and unfortunately is currently being used to pay for tax breaks for the wealthiest of our citizens. It is immoral and clearly defies the teachings of Jesus. Jesus' ethic calls for unconditional grace. Paul's instruction calls for responsibility within a community. Both are important. As Christians, more specifically as followers of Christ, we are called to balance the two. Yes, we must encourage work and self-sufficiency where possible, but we must also be willing to open our hands and our hearts to those in need, especially when structural inequities limit their opportunities. If there is any doubt about this balance, our gospel encourages us to come down on the side of compassion. That is where I come down. As a congregation, we are called to embody both responsibility and radical generosity. We should encourage ministries in our community that provide job training, mentorship, and employment pathways, especially for the marginalized populations. Simultaneously, we should support programs that feed and assist those who are elderly, disabled, or who are otherwise vulnerable through advocacy, volunteering, and giving. We should write to lawmakers, partner with food banks, and organize or support forums that raise awareness. We should push for and vote for policies that couple work requirements with meaningful support, such as affordable child care, accessible training programs, reliable transportation, and mental health services, all desperately lacking in the national debate and funding priorities. We must educate ourselves and our community about how proposed cuts or stricter requirements for SNAP or other similar programs might disproportionately hurt those in need. In the end, we must ask ourselves, do we welcome Isaiah's invitation to come, buy without money and without price? Do our hearts align with a God who gives freely? Do we cast the debate solely on our own experience? When we come to the communion table, are we consistent with the reminder that for us, our human well-being is because of God's grace and mercy represented by the sacrificial life and death of Christ? When we reflect on our own assumptions about worthiness, can we be honest about our own prejudices, defaults, and the way we were raised? Can we find room for more compassion, more tolerance, and more understanding? I think so. I sit in often on the Committee for Mission and Outreach, who work tirelessly and diligently to find ways we can effectively fulfill the commands of Jesus. I see the blue box filling rapidly, and the compassionate ministries continue and expand. And I am aware of gifts given anonymously and privately to those within our congregation in need. I have seen our church evolve and grow, which means the fundraisers in our past have become unnecessary, and now, as a church with increasing resources, becomes a better embodiment of that Jesus ethic, where those of us who have much will be responsible for much. I return to the vision of Isaiah, a banquet for all, with the least of these seated at the highest places of honor, where the finest food and the most expensive wine are served. And no one will have to ask for the bill. The invitation of Christ remains. We are called to live in that vision, urging work, yes, but also offering mercy, generosity, and the structural support. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen. I just want to thank everybody for coming out today. I am by no means as much of a talker as Mark, but I do invite everybody to the Friendship Center to have a cup of coffee with us. Have a great week, everybody.